You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is Jordan Bastian, MLB.com, here with Trevor Bauer, pitcher for the Cleveland Indians. Rather than a typical podcast like we do every week with myself and Anthony Kastrovitz, we're going to sit down with Trevor here today and just talk a little bit. Trevor, how you doing?
Doing well.
All right. Are you doing okay? I mean, because we're talking right now and Duke just had a tough loss.
Yeah. I don't know. That was going to be a tough game for us. Down another player coming off of three very emotional games, two really emotional wins. Two wins over top 10 opponents by 1 point, and one on a buzzer beater, and one on a great defensive stand, which is a good sign moving forward. So hopefully we can get some of our players healthy and get a couple guys back and make a push towards the tournament. I keep telling people that we're on the Michigan State train this year. You know, you're banged up all year, you kind of fly under the radar and somehow end up in the Final Four. So hopefully it plays out that way.
Now, you know, I went to Michigan State.
Yeah, I have nothing but respect for Michigan State's program. Love Izzo. Definitely want to go see a whiteout, in their stadium at some point. So it's on the bucket list.
Yeah, and I was in the Izzone plenty of times when I was a student there. And I got to know, because you probably pay more attention to college basketball than I do. How good are my Spartans this year?
They're really good.
Thanks. Really good. Awesome.
Yeah. We'll be interested to see what the draw is in the tournament, but I think they're right up there with Kansas and Oklahoma and probably North Carolina as teams that I think can take it down this year.
Are we going to see the blue wig? You brought that out last year.
Once
the tourney comes around.
No, it's here. It was going to show up yesterday, but the game was at 10, and I knew I wasn't going to get to watch the game, so left it at home. But next game it'll be out.
All right.
Duke shirt, Duke shoes. Can't wear shorts to the field, otherwise I would hang my shirt by the locker.
Which teammate gets a little annoyed by the Duke stuff? Is there one?
Our trainer, Chad.
Right.
Went to North Carolina.
Right.
So, the day after the game, we were, just joking around with him. Hey, Chad, can I get a timeout? giving him some crap. I waited a couple days before I said anything, just kind of let it simmer down, because I know how it is when Carolina miraculously beats Duke. All the Carolina fans come out of the woodwork and just start talking nonstop. So I waited a couple days and slipped in a nice, easy jab.
Now, at the end of last season, when we talked, you had mentioned you wanted to go into the winter and really just find something that you really enjoyed to do. And I know we kind of saw the start of it last year, last spring, when you started building your drones. And I know that's a passion of yours, and I'm sure that continued this winter. Just how has that passion evolved? And I think I heard you have a little fleet of drones now. Just how's that going?
Good. First year was kind of frustrating because you spend more time fixing them after crashes
right.
and trying to learn how to fly. And then there's inevitably problems that you don't know exactly how to solve. You're trying to learn everything, but finally gotten to the point where I do more flying than fixing, which is definitely a fun thing. And it's interesting because it kind of combines, I really enjoy video editing.
Right.
And it kind of combines those two, because I can take video of the flights and then edit them together and post them up to my YouTube channel, which is all like an avenue that I enjoy, a way to connect with the fans and just kind of share what I enjoy doing. Outside of what people see on a daily basis, which is just sitting in the dugout or pitching. So it's been good. I got four little racing ones, and actually the company Unique sent me one of their drones.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a really awesome platform. It takes a really super smooth, stable aerial video and really high definition. So I'm going to be flying that around the stadiums I go to this year and making some videos. Last year I took some pictures of them, but I want to make some flight videos around them, kind of give people a tour, a little bit of what the stadium looks like from the air,
right.
and what the concourse looks like and stuff like that.
Yeah, we used to see you up in the upper decks last year at different places. We've seen some of those photos on Twitter. You're at Bauer Outage on Twitter, some cool stuff on there. Is there a favorite photo you have or some that you've taken from different road trips?
Yeah, I think the Pittsburgh one probably was my favorite. Obviously a beautiful stadium. the way the sun was at the time, and the, you know, the city in the background, and I think that one just turned out, you know, really, really well. Actually, you know, didn't get to spend much time at home this off season, but at some point I'm going to take all the pictures and, you know, print them out, put them in frames, and kind of decorate my walls with them and stuff. So
nice.
That's kind of the plan moving forward with those.
What was your you go to Driveline Baseball when you're in Seattle. I know are you in Houston? Is that correct?
Yeah, the Woodlands.
And then also in, you go to California. So you have like a couple different places. You know, what did you kind of focus on this winter pitching wise? Was there one goal that you kind of had in mind, you know, going into this winter, whether it was approach or a certain pitch? Yeah, or
mostly it was just become a more efficient thrower, work on my velocity development. My velocity was too low last year. I actually felt like I commanded the ball fine, even though my walk numbers don't support that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like that's necessarily a problem. I worked on it. You know, I work on everything, but mostly just tried to spend as little time as possible thinking about baseball,
right,
and just separate from it, because I've been overloaded mentally on it for, you know, many years. So kind of got away from it, enjoyed going out, seeing some movies and, you know, flying my drones and just talking about other stuff.
Right.
Made some parody videos with some friends and just kind of enjoyed doing other stuff. That's not to say that I didn't, you know, get my work in, because I was still doing 6 to 8 hours of work every single day on baseball, you know, which is, people don't realize that. You talk about doing a hobby and, oh, you should be working on baseball. It's like, yeah, I put in 8 hours a day on baseball, but I just don't talk about that.
Right. So. When you're focusing on velocity, a lot of that has to do with spin rate. Is that something that you focused on this winter?
Yeah, so the part of baseball that I actually enjoy the most, you know, outside of the competition, I enjoy mm-hmm. the adrenaline rush. I enjoy competing. Like, that's obviously number one. But the most interesting part about baseball probably to me is the research and development that goes into
right.
learning about all this new, you know, all the little intricacies of the game and how to better teach it and understand it and stuff. And the technology has finally gotten to a point where we can start to measure some of the things that have been completely, you know, hidden, basically, mm-hmm. or for the history of baseball. So, like you mentioned, spin rate. That's one of them. We're in the process of doing a big study on spin rate and, you know, how Bauer units may affect. I named them Bauer units. So if any of the statisticians or, you know,
okay.
stat guys are listening, that's spin rate in RPM divided by miles per hour.
Okay.
So that's a way of...
Bauer units.
Yeah, Bauer units.
All right, I'll talk to Fangraphs.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be cool to get that up there. But when you talk about spin rate, you know, it's like, oh, well, Chapman spins at 2,400 RPMs. That's mm-hmm. really fast. Koji Uehara spins at 24 RPMs. That's really fast. They're the same. Well, they're not really the same, because
right.
Chapman throws 15 miles an hour harder. And so, you know, a 104 mile an hour fastball that spins at 2,400 is profiles way different than an 89 mile an hour fastball that spins
right.
2,400. So that's a way of normalizing everything to compare pitcher to pitcher on how much spin they get per mile per hour that they throw. Do the same thing with like curveballs and all sorts of different mm-hmm. pitches. It's a way to compare. And then I ran a study on compared that to injury rates to see if we found anything. And then we're trying to compare kinematic data taken with a control cube and taking the high speed footage, digitizing all of it into a 3D model, and then comparing different kinematic parameters to see what actually predicts high spin rate, or and if there is a way to train that. So that was one of the things that I really enjoyed about the off season, was kind of studying that and trying to formulate ideas on what that might be. I got a camera that shoots in really insane frame rates, like mm-hmm. up to 18,000 frames a second.
Huh.
But it'll get 494 frames per second at 1080p and like 750 at, 720p. So being able to look at exactly how a ball spins and, you know, we color baseballs, you know, on certain axes and see how stable the spin axis was, just refining the how much you actually get, how much of the spin that you create you actually use, you know, trying to align the trajectory of the ball with the spin axis of the ball so you get the maximum break per, you know, spin that you're creating. And that stuff was really interesting. Seeing people get hit by paintballs and the ripples and the splatters in 1,000 frames a second was pretty interesting
too. I was going to mention that. As I say, yeah. It looked like you were having a competition. Was that was that to see who was throwing the hardest? I mean, what ended up, how did you get hit by a paintball or somebody else? How did that become the punishment?
Well, I like to compete, like I mentioned earlier. Yeah. I'm an intense competitor. I compete in everything. If I'm playing chess, I want to win. If I'm, it doesn't even matter. I want to win at everything.
Right.
And, the competition brings in an extra adrenaline component to training that you can't really simulate any other way. So when there's an extra something on the line, when you're competing for something, competing not to get shot, it boosts the level of intensity and it boosts your performance and then makes training more effective.
What were you guys trying to do? To see who was throwing the hardest?
We would do it on all sorts of stuff.
Okay.
So one of them was, the main one was probably the velocity day, when we'd get five or six guys that are all, throwing. Now, obviously it's hard because you have one guy that throws 104 and one guy that tops out at 96 and stuff like that. So what we did is we took and normalized everything to, each individual would take his, so we threw 3 ounce, 4 ounce, 5 ounce, 6 ounce, 7 ounce balls. So it was five different balls that we were throwing. And we would take our high for the entire off season on each of those balls, add them together. And then we would take our high from that day on each of the balls, add them together. Mm-hmm. Whoever had the highest percentage of their high. So it was all normalized so everybody could compete. You know, a 14-year-old can compete with, pro guys because it's all normalized to the individual. So, and then, whoever competed, and there was kind of the rule that in order to do your velo, you had to be in the competition.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd have like six guys that would be competing and we'd be tracking it, as it was going along. They'd get to a point like in the 4 ounce and the 3 ounce ball were like the last ones that we would throw. So we'd kind of start knowing like, okay, if I don't throw this one 110 miles an hour, I get shot. And so it adds a nice component of competition. You kind of find an extra gear that you can access.
Well, hey, I will get to work on Bauer units. And I hope Duke and Michigan State are on opposite sides of the bracket so they can both get to the Final Four. Yeah. I appreciate you taking the time.
Maybe we meet up in the Final Four again.
Maybe.
That usually turns out well for us.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Trevor. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sure thing.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.